is beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello, my good friends. It's great to be with you again. I'm your pastor here at Bible Home Church, and I'll tell you, we're being heard around the world, and we're getting some wonderful letters and from Africa, especially South America, and we're delighted to do so. I've never yet preached a sermon on giving or tithing. Maybe I will someday. It's a worthy thing, but, when you do that, a lot of people get critical and say, oh, he's just trying to bring in more money. Well, the Bible tells a lot about giving, but I'm not going to talk about that today. You can read that on your own, but certainly the Lord does require us to give. And you know, it says in the Bible, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And we're more than happy to give this program free to you and allow you to listen to it. We're more than happy to do that. And the greatest thing about salvation itself is that it is free as well. And yet it came with a tremendous price. Jesus on the cross, a price that we did not pay, but he did. Well, you know, one of the things I love to do the most is read our mail here at Bible Home Church. Received a letter not too long ago, though, from a man, although most of the letters I get are very nice. Evidently, this person listens to Bible Home Church every week, but then he took the time to write me a letter criticizing me, calling me a fool for believing like I do in the Bible and in Jesus and the things that I preach about. I find it so fascinating, and I always laugh about people like this. They feel compelled to listen to you so they can criticize. And I love that. I mean, if that's what compels them, the desire to find fault and criticize, then all the more wonderful, because they're listening in. This particular person asked me, said, Tex Mars, you don't really believe in that junk that you teach, do you? Why, you're an educated man. You have wisdom that comes from higher institutions of learning. You've taught at the University of Texas at Austin and other universities, and you're a very learned man. Why would you believe all that, junk that you find in the Bible? Those are just myths, mythologies. And I thought about 1 Corinthians, as I was reading this letter, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19. It says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Oh, my friends, listen to me. The wisdom of the world, and that's what they taught me at the universities, and to some extent, I'm very repentant in saying so. I taught foolishness to my students. Oh, now, it were the facts. It was the facts as the world would have it. I mean, I didn't purposely go out and say, let me deceive anybody. And, I'm sure I taught things that were useful to them. But some of the things I taught, probably because of the way the textbooks are made up today, are just foolishness. Now, friends, if you want to get wise, then throw away some of the things you may have learned and go to God's Word. And there you will find true wisdom. You'll find the wisdom of another world. Did you hear what I said? The wisdom of unworldly things. Spiritual truths. Things of a lasting, eternal nature. Now, to the world, these things are often foolish. But to those who are saved, they're like, my goodness, they're a bridge to safety. They're the very floor upon which we stand, the foundation, and they are truth. Verse 20 says, and again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise. Now, the wise here meaning wise in the ways of the world, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men. Let no man glory in men. Oh, we exalt movie stars today. We exalt presidents. We exalt the famous men, the celebrities. And every time you go to the supermarket, you see all the magazines with all the glitterati, I call them, the glitter set. But God said, these people are just vain. And don't let any man glory in man. For what these people believe is wise, my friends, is foolishness with God. And by the reverse token, and oh, I love God, He is a contrarian. Did you know that God's mind is not like the mind of men? He thinks different. Opposite, diametrically opposite. And the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, but listen to this. The wisdom of God is foolishness to the world. The world thinks you're stupid and ignorant and uncouth if you believe in the things of God. And that's why these people don't understand. Why, Tex Mars, if you're such an educated man, how can you believe in that old terrible book called the Bible, they say? Well, I'll tell you why. Because it's foolishness to these people who are perishing and who are fit for destruction. But I'm telling you, it's the tool for salvation. In fact, Paul said in Romans that it's the power unto salvation. You believe in God's word. You believe in the gospel. And let me tell you something, my friends. You have just grabbed hold, or I should say grabbed hold of you, because that's what God's word does. It grabs hold of you. The Holy Spirit draws you irresistibly. If you have faith, if you believe, it draws you unto salvation. And I just find letters like this quite interesting. But let me say this, my friend out there, you who wrote me, just keep listening, would you? Oh, you can just scream and holler at me and curse me and write me these letters, and I'm going to pray for you. You're in big trouble with God. Because God listens to my prayers, and I'm going to pray for you, and then you're in real, real trouble. Because I'm going to plant the seed, and the Holy Spirit will draw you. And people who listen to this program, they just get in trouble with the world. Now, you won't be in trouble with God, but you'll be in trouble with the world. Because every true Christian finds that they are in conflict with the world. Did you hear what I just said? Every true Christian will find they are in conflict with the world. But the Bible says you're at enmity with the world. That means the world is angry at you. How do you like it every morning waking up knowing the world is angry at you? Woo, that's tough. That's tough. You know why it's angry at you? Because you say, world, everything you say is true is foolish. And everything that God said is wise, is wisdom. And the world will say, what? What did you say? How dare you challenge the great scientists and educators, the great people of this world? How dare you challenge them with your puny little Bible? That's what they will say. They'll get angry at you, but you know, I haven't lost a bit of sleep over it, and I still laugh, and I still am joyful, and I have fun because it's a pleasure to be a Christian. It's an honor. It's a privilege. And as the world would say, it's just plain great fun, and it's going to be fun forever. And I say that in all soberness. Well, a lot of people don't understand that. They think that I ought to just be in sackcloth and ashes. And let me tell you something, my friends. If I were backslid, I think I would get in sackcloth and ashes. Now's not a time to backslide in Christ Jesus. Not today. Not with all the things going on. You need to grab on to Jesus. Like that woman, you know, that he just passed her by. And as he was passing by, she grabbed hold of the hem of his garment. If she could just grab just a little bit of the cloth that he wore. And I think that's what we ought to be doing today, my friends. The press of the crowd is all around us, but you just keep pressing forward till finally you've got Jesus and you grab hold of him and don't let him go, and you'll do real well in this world. In fact, you'll never fail. We'd love to hear from you. If you want to write me a vile letter, well, you can write me, but I'm warning you now, I'm going to pray over your letter and you're going to be in big trouble with God. A good kind of trouble, I might say. I'm not going to ask God to punish you. I'm going to ask God to bring you into his kingdom. You're going to be in trouble with the world, but you'll be in trouble with God only in the sense that he'll draw you to him. And I think that's the kind of trouble. That's the holy trouble you need. Well, but you might just want to write to me and say you enjoy the program. That's what most letters say. And you're getting a blessing from it. And I need to hear from you. I love to hear from you. I like to hear inspiration and encouragement. It's only one out of 200 letters that we get that are critical here. And you know, that's not bad odds in today's world, is it? I wish we would get more. If we got more letters criticizing us, we'd know we're doing the right thing. I mean, I'm beginning to worry. Maybe I am backslid. I'm not making people mad anymore. I need to get people fired up, make them angry at you. I've said many times before, you know, about the true story, evidently, back in the days of the American Revolution, a lot of pastors were on fire for the Lord, and one young man was called to be a preacher, and the pastor, his overseeing pastor, sent him out to be an evangelist. Says, you go out and visit this little bitty church and this little bitty church, you know, and prove yourself. And come back and tell me how you did before you get ordained. So the young man, the young preacher, went out and he went to these little backwoods churches and he preached. He came back to the main church and the preacher, you know, the older preacher, the wise preacher, says, well, how did you do? He says, well, I'm afraid I didn't do so good. I preached in all those little churches. Not one person got saved. And the preacher looked at him sort of sternly, said, well, did you make anybody mad? If you didn't get them saved, at least you could have made them angry. Because you see, my friend, sometimes people get angry, and that's the first level of emotion. They get angry at you, and then they go to the Bible and they say, I'm going to prove him wrong. I like that. I like when people want to prove me wrong. Then they get in the Bible, and suddenly they find, in reading the Bible, God is calling them. The very words seem to leap out at them. And they'll read a verse and they'll say, oh my, that verse is right. That verse is intended for me. And you know, it often is. The Holy Spirit will even show you what part of the Bible to read. And as I said, then you're in great holy trouble. Well, I don't want to make you angry today, so I'm going to give you a beautiful song. This is from the album Treasured Hymns. From Golden Years. These are golden songs, and I think you're going to like this one. This lady has a precious voice, and you know, this is a message. His eye is on the sparrow. First time I heard this song many years ago, and it just made me really think about how much God loves us and how much he cares for you and me. If his eye is on the sparrow, believe me, my friends, he knows of your hurts. He knows of your sufferings and your sorrows, and he's there for you. Here's the beautiful music, and I'll be right back with today's message afterwards.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? happy. I sing because I'm free.
Oh, there's power here. And, you know, I've always said, and it is true, that Jesus Christ is the greatest prophet of all time. And that would have to be true because he is one with God and is God. And thus he wrote the Bible. He created the heavens and the worlds, including this earth that we live on. And he chronicled it all from the beginning. He, it says in Revelation, is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. A lot of people don't understand. Time is relative. Now, watch out now. You're going to say Tex Mars doesn't believe in absolutes. Yes, I do. I believe in absolute divinity. And his name is Jesus. But he has created a world in which many things that we consider concrete and factual are nothing but quicksand. And our minds are not geared to understand the mind of God. Who can understand him? Well, he's given us just a little bit. He gives us the mind of Christ when we come to know him. But we are as children. In fact, we are the children of God. He calls us his children. And I'm not at all ashamed to say I'm still a child before God and shall always be and will never be his equal. There was one, of course, in heaven who considered himself God's equal, even greater than God. But he fell, and his fate is destruction.
Well, we won't even mention his name today. You know what it is. We're not going to talk about him. He's a loser. But let's talk about the great God that we have, Jesus Christ, and what he did for us in designing the Bible, the Scriptures, so we can have prophetic news for our day. And he did it through great men of God who were called by him, chosen before the foundation of the world. This is an amazing mystery, my friends. Did you know that if you're in Christ Jesus, he chose you from the foundation of the world? A lot of people say, oh, well, no, I became a Christian. They even know the date. Even some people even have it remembered to the very minute when they became a Christian. Now, that's okay. It's a very important milestone in your eternal life. I don't have any problem with that. I remember that very moment when I became a Christian. I don't know the date nor the hour. I remember approximately. Remember, I was a young man. I believe I was 16 at the time. But I certainly remember the great event that occurred in my life. And some people are better at remembering dates and times, and they say, hey, I was born again on this date. That's all right. I sort of appreciate them caring that much, and they should. But did you know that you were chosen before the foundation of the world, when the earth was just a void, almost an abyss? And yet, God knew you, you see. He already knew that birthday you talked about, the born-again birthday. And thus, he designed the end from the beginning, and we know how much of things are going to happen that are chronicled in the Bible. Of course, if God were to put all the prophecies, everything that he had designed, the great plan with a capital P, in bold print, by the way, if he had put it all in the Bible, why there would be so many books in the Bible, we couldn't possibly read them all. There's already 66 books in there, some long and some short, and it's quite time-consuming for people, although rewarding. And if you don't get to the back of the book, to Revelation, well, you've missed a lot, my friends. I guess I have a very nasty habit. When I get magazines and books, I always start in the back. I do. I always start in the back. And you know, that's what I do in the Bible. I want to find some information. I start in the book of Revelation and work myself up. But you have to keep working or you'll never get to Genesis. And of course, if you're one of those very meticulous, methodical people who start at the beginning, and I'm not one of those, I'm too antsy. I just want to see what's in the back of the book. I want to see how it all ends. And then I start from there. Well, but if you're like that, then even you have to go a long way to Revelation. But there's a lot of prophecy in between. And in the letters of Paul, the apostle, are found many fantastic prophecies. Now, we're going to talk about those today. There's going to be some astonishing things we talk about. And you know, what we discuss here today may defy what you have been taught by false teachers, false prophets, and even some pastors and teachers who are very sincere, perhaps even Christians, but they really have not pondered and contemplated and studied the Word of God like we're going to do. For example, is there really such a thing as the rapture? Are you going to be raptured by Jesus Christ to be in the air with him? Could it be? Can we find that in the letters of Paul? Paul said we would all be raptured. What did he say? We'd have to go through tribulation or not? What about that? We're going to talk about the great strong delusion that is to come upon the whole world. And the great apostasy of falling away. Are we in that now with Billy Graham and Robert Schuller and Paul Crouch and all the other big-name celebrity Christian leaders? Is this the great falling away that's prophesied by Paul, the apostle and prophet, in 2 Thessalonians? The Antichrist, that wicked one, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all powers and signs and lying wonders. You find out about that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Amazing things that Paul told us about. And we're going to get into many of them today and in the next few weeks. And you know, they relate to us today. I'm convinced of it. I believe this time is very, very imminent. But I would not, as some, attempt to guarantee you that you're not going to go through hard times, persecution, oppression, and yes, tribulation. For what is tribulation but hard times and suffering? And Christians throughout the centuries have gone through such. Are you better than them? Am I, Tex Mars, more sanctimonious and holy than the great men of the Reformation period who were burned at the stake for their faith? The faithful Christians who went through the Inquisition? The Christians who were murdered by the thousands, by the Romans, at the instigation of the Jews? Torn apart by lions in the Roman circuses at the Colosseum and at other stadiums throughout the Roman world in the early part of the AD period?
Please tune in to Bible Home Church next week as Pastor Mars continues his fascinating series on the prophecies in the letters of Paul.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.